Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, the 11th of May. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Glad to have you with me, as always. And I believe the term used in the meeting this morning was hashtag dream team, which means with you today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Listen, John and I don't like to big ourselves up. We just enjoy talking to each other.
And I enjoy getting to get the two of you together to have a conversation. And in fact, today, the conversation, Charlotte, starts with an editorial that you posted over at Mac Observer. And
yeah, and I think John and I agree. It's kind of nice to be back on an even keel after a couple of weeks.
This article is sheer genius because it states the obvious. People have gotten used to the idea of Apple's silliness and Apple's...
We didn't tell anybody about the article yet.
It was meant to be a compliment.
And Charlotte has called them out.
Yes.
Go for it, Charlotte.
I think there was meant to be a compliment in there.
Oh, absolutely.
As always, big love, John. So, yeah, the thing is, right, there are three products now called Apple TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the box, which... Yeah, we may be getting a new one soon, but there is a box, if you go to the Apple website, called Apple TV 4K.
Yes.
There is an app, if you look on your Mac or on your phone or your iPad, called TV,
mm-hmm.
Apple TV. And then there is a streaming service with some good shows on it called Apple TV Plus. The problem is, if you do other things with your life, apart from watching Apple... This can be very confusing about what these two things are. I think it's a particular problem with the app and the service.
Yes, it is absolutely
the box.
App
I don't
service.
Think. Yeah, I don't think. I think the box. If you go looking for the box, that's what you want. I mean, mm-hmm. someone might get confused between a thing called Apple TV 4K and a streaming service because you're like, well, I want the 4K version of the streaming service,
right?
But mostly, I think the confusion is with the app and the service, because you're like, woohoo, I bought my new iPhone SE and now I get a year of Apple TV Plus free. Cool, I can watch the morning show.
Yeah.
Then you go onto the TV app and you cannot find the morning show because the UI sucks.
Yes.
It's very confusing. Now, for a company that designs things as beautifully as Apple... It's really weird quite how bad the UI on the TV thing is and the TV app is.
Well, and before we even get there, the names of everything is endlessly frustrating because Apple's been at that forever.
Right.
Yeah, remember, this is the company that had Mac OS X for years and used an X, and people called it Mac OS X for years.
They still do that, John.
Same company.
Hi.
But this is the company that named the photo.
That's me with my iPhone XR.
Yeah, the photo management app is called Photos. So, you know, the mail app is called Mail. Like, how am I supposed to go, like, do a web search for a solution for my mail when maybe I mean the mail app, or maybe I just mean I get mail on my computer and I don't use the mail app? And how do I find the results that are useful to me? Right. Like,
or maybe you just want to order a mail in the mail. We will never know.
I admit nothing. The rest, moving on.
I wonder if Apple was influenced by leaks of Disney Plus. Because Disney can get away with Disney Plus because they don't have a box.
Yeah, they also
don't have
anything
box.
Actually called Disney either. So
right.
There's a thing called Disney that we sort of know is a big all-encompassing brand, but which is the same with Apple, which is why people are always going to call it Apple TV.
Yes.
So... Here's the thing. You get load up the app for the first time and you're like, cool, I want to watch all these shows that I've heard about. And then you're confronted with a load of different things, including some of which you have to pay for, right. Even though you thought Apple TV was free.
Or didn't realize, you know, maybe it's a show that you know is from a different place, right? There's something that you have been watching on Amazon Prime, or there's something that you've been watching on Netflix, and
right.
TV is showing all of that to you. So I sat down and opened the TV app so that I could watch Apple TV on my Apple TV. Where's all the Apple TV in my Apple TV?
With all the Apple TV. And Now, eventually you can find what is referred to in the app as a channel, and then there's an Apple TV Plus channel, and then all the stuff is there. I think, though, there is a stickability problem. We all know that basically once you start watching Netflix, you're trapped there and that's it forever. And you must remain in Netflix forever.
Hello and welcome. Enjoy your stay.
Hello and welcome. It's been nice in the outside world.
It's Hotel California, but on the internet. Yeah.
Correct. It's fine. You can, but Apple has, and maybe this is to their credit, not done that. But there's no way the TV app is as sticky, if you like, as Netflix.
Correct.
And I think that is holding the Apple TV Plus service. See,
is there a relationship between stickiness and quality? In other words,
I don't
the more sticky
is,
it is, the better the user interface is.
I think it's the opposite. If you have a good user interface, you can just sort of hang out in there and look around and do and discover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the opposite of that.
So a quality interface needs to be sticky or non-sticky?
A quality interface is a quality interface, which means it's usable and it's easy to see what you're doing and it's easy to know what to expect when you click on a thing or select a thing. And when that's the case,
you're joyful in staying there and cruising around and looking. So
you have to make it easy for people to stay, A, find it, and B, stay there once they've found it.
Yeah.
And I think if we're being brutally honest, Apple
and we are.
TV Plus and the Apple TV app fails on that count.
Mm-hmm.
As I say in the piece, it's a shame because there's really good stuff there. I started watching For All Mankind this weekend. It's really good.
Yes.
It's terrible.
John, we've been agreeing.
Terrible.
We were so close.
It's an embarrassment.
What are you talking about? It's just a fun counterfactual about space. Space is cool.
This is true.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the right flavor. I had a big discussion with Brian about this on ICM.
I enjoyed it.
It violates the rules of good storytelling.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's harsh. I enjoyed it. I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're not going down that rabbit hole.
Well, part of it is that John is a little closer to actual space race sorts of things than you and I are, Charlotte.
Yeah,
so when we look at it, we look at it as
Lockheed Martin. So
John is an honest to God rocket scientist, and so
no, I appreciate that. John just is superior to us on multiple levels, and I've accepted that a while ago. And
this is valid.
Fine.
Yes, but I for one accept our new Martellero
TV. As counterfactual TV, it's quite fun. I'm sure there's all sorts of inaccuracies in it, but it's kind of fun.
Now, you promised me you were going to watch Olive Dickinson. Did you do that?
I know. It's on my list. I'm working through a lot of stuff, John, at the moment.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
I know. It's very good. The bits I've seen are very good. I've done a review, actually, on the Mac Observer of the nonfiction series Visible out on TV. That's really good. So there's lots of good stuff there. That is what we're about on Apple TV Plus, but it's not always that easy to find. And I think they've made a bit of a mess about this Apple in...
Why do you think that is? Whenever I see something like this, I go, you know, what's going on? Is it just...
I just think they didn't think of it as in a random manner, which seems really weird. And
are there constraints? Like, are the user interfaces that Netflix and Amazon use is patented in some way and... Apple had to kind of dream up their own and then just
how high of a hurdle is it for Apple to come up with a user interface? Like, we see them do it all the time.
I know.
Like, and they're extraordinarily usable user interfaces for the most part. May I point out, Apple revolutionized how people interact with technology not once but twice, because first of all they put computers on our desks and then they put computers in our pockets, and everybody was able to figure it out. I know there's a whole discoverability discussion we will have in a future show, I promise that, but I had one earlier today, as a matter of fact. The fact remains that Apple does tend to make things that are usable, where it's clear what you're doing. The old adage from Steve Jobs, design is how it works, I think is the last bit of it.
Nice.
And like, that's the point. Like, Apple makes stuff that's easy to use. The technology gets out of your way so that you can do the thing that you want to do.
Yes. And I think...
And that's not happening here.
No, I think the thing that's always been so wonderful about Apple products is you didn't need to know very much about them to use them effectively.
Precisely.
I think with the Apple TV app and Apple TV Plus, it takes a bit of fiddling. And mm-hmm. I have seen this with a discussion. I think I had it with my own mum, because she's started watching some of the stuff and mm-hmm. she couldn't quite understand why there was defending Jacob, but also stuff she had to pay for. And yeah. I've seen that other conversations like this with other people as well.
I mentioned that in the article I wrote about the Apple TV Plus, the Apple TV app back mm-hmm. in May of 2019. That was the first thing I noticed. They yeah. worked too hard on trying to not differentiate between what's free and what's to be
and
paid for.
To be fair, definitely. Like, I understand that Apple has to walk a tricky line here. Like, I'm absolutely aware that they can't favor their own programming, but I do think it would be fair to show, like, maybe things you have an account for. Like, you know, because you have to explicitly tell the TV app, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have Prime Video, I have whatever. And then that's where it gets its information from. Because I told it I had HBO, and then the TV app helpfully reminds me every Sunday night when there's a new episode of Westworld. When there was. There's not anymore. But when it did, that's what happened. So, like, it has to know a certain amount about your preferences, and it's up to you what you tell it. But if you do tell it, then it should be showing me, here, you know, you have Apple TV Plus, so here's what you get. You have HBO, so here's things on HBO that might be of interest to you. And then maybe it shows, like, things you might want to enjoy. Like, if you decided to sign up for 30 days of all access, you could watch Picard and, you know, then go back and listen to John and Kelly talk about it all the time. Things like that.
Yeah, and I think just in answer to John's question, why is this the case? I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head a bit, Kelly, which is... Obviously, after all the rows around the App Store, there were some very real antitrust concerns.
Right. And I'm fine with that. But I understand them trying to make it better.
I get that. But that, yeah, they just need to make it clearer. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, yes, if you... And also what I can't tell is how much an algorithm... So it knows I'm watching a lot of TV Plus content on the TV app.
Yes.
So is that why I now have a big advert for Defending Jacob, even though actually a movie I bought is also right at the top? Mm-hmm. Do you see? It's just everything I look at it in it, basically, it seems to be a bit of a mess. And I think the ultimate thing about it is, never mind my gripes, I think it's actually holding Apple TV Plus back as a service. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you make it... A, if you make a bad first impression, I think if you make it hard for people to find your content and to understand what it is and where it is and what options there are, mm-hmm. you're just not going to succeed, right?
Or even just if don't really make much impression at all, which seems like what they're doing now.
At all, people are not going to bother.
And worse, because of the bad nomenclature, people get confused and speak incorrectly about the product, which causes 100%. Other people to be confused about what it is.
Right.
Totally right. Look how many times you and I have caught ourselves and had to, you know, clarify what we're talking about in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it should be like just sort of more, I feel like to me it should be more clear what some of the things are. Like, I know Westworld is on HBO because I know, like, you know, obviously, that's something that's kind of in my best interest. If you're going to have a podcast about it, you should know a thing or two. And so I know that because that's a thing that I know. But if I didn't know and went, oh, well, this Westworld thing is a thing a lot of people are talking about, and I want to go watch it, like, it's showing it to me in the TV app. Why would it show it to me if I can't watch? And so I think, you know, like the two of you are talking about, you know, being able to communicate about it effectively is just as important as being able to use it effectively. And right now it's kind of hard to do either one of those. And I think part of the reason that this rankles the way it does is that we want and expect more from Apple. Does that sound about right, John?
Yeah, let me throw you a wrinkle. I agree.
Yes.
Let me throw you guys a tough one, a curveball.
We're not guys, but okay.
What would you name Apple TV Plus if it weren't Apple TV Plus?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't have a good answer, but it's exactly the right question.
It would be something like, I would just make up a word. I mean, Netflix wasn't a word. You know, it would be Apple Streaming or something, you know, like I
streaming music.
Because then you could have streaming video, you could have streaming music. And I understand that streaming video is not as catchy as Plus, but, you know, TV Plus, but
ASTV, Apple Streaming TV.
Or you call it Apple Television instead, you know, and give Gene Munster fits for the rest of his days. You know, like,
That was good.
There are things that you can do to differentiate. Apple, we know Apple makes up words. They've done it forever. We had an iMac, we had an iPhone, we have an iPad. We have, you know, all these other things that Apple has had to end up bestowing names on, and it could be better. It could be more clear.
I'm going to throw two things in there before the show ends, and because once I say this, Kelly's definitely going to kick me off the show anyway. The problem was getting rid of iTunes. Now, iTunes, unfortunately, needed to be put to sleep.
It needed rethought. It didn't necessarily need to disappear, but it needed rethought. I'm with you there 100%.
Right. But now, it meant you have to have a load of different apps. And if you've got an app called Books and Music and TV. Podcasts, you then have one called TV. Mm-hmm. You could, I guess, call it video.
It could be video. Yeah.
It could be video, and that has TV Plus in it. You could even have the video app and release another app called TV Plus. That would probably be the easiest way for most users.
Right.
It's all a bit messy, whichever way you do it. Anyway, there we go. And it's been a pleasure being allowed on TDO all this time.
No, I agree with you. Because the problem was not the existence of iTunes. The problem was iTunes was where you went for music. iTunes gives you music. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense is iTunes is where you get movies. iTunes is where you get apps. iTunes is where you manage your phone. When they kept bolting on all those things, it became less about being iTunes. And that's where it got confusing. That's where it got hard. Why do I back up my phone with the place that I use to buy music? You know, is a very confusing thing.
I love your term bolted on, because there was a Apple mantra. I don't know if they still use it, but for a long time, Apple was promoting Apple security in Mac OS X. Security is built in, not bolted on.
Mm-hmm.
And but bolted on, as you said, is exactly what they did with iTunes.
It is. And I would like to point out here, our own friend of the show, friend of Mac Observer, Jeff Gamet himself, actually photoshopped together an image of the Weasley's house from the Harry Potter movies, with all the different pieces of iTunes looking out of each of the windows, because that was we need another room. Let's just slap one on. And that was exactly what it was. So I wanted to point that out, because Jeff made that image for me, and it makes me very happy that it is a thing that exists in the world.
I've used it myself. Yes.
It's the most pleasing, like, it was exactly the description I was going for. And I asked Jeff to make that image for me, and he did it with a smile on his face. And it's just so exciting. Anyway, so hi, Jeff. I just wanted to tell you, Charlotte, I agree with you. My issue with iTunes was not that it existed. It was that it was just turning into this conglomerate of all of this stuff that didn't need to go together. And again, I want more from Apple, and I expect more from Apple. And part of the reason that I am an Apple user is because I can get something that is clear, that is easy to follow, that's easy to understand, and that stays out of my way while I'm doing the thing that I'm trying to do. And that's the whole reason I've been an Apple fan all this time. And when Apple starts getting in its own way like this, it's just extra frustrating, because if I wanted to spend this much time managing all this kind of stuff, I wouldn't be an Apple user. I would go use something else where I have to spend all my time on the administration of the thing before I can even do the thing I'm trying to do. So that's why to me it's a frustrating thing, because we know Apple is capable of more. And right now they're falling over on that. So. You did mention briefly, Charlotte, we're hearing rumblings of new Apple TV box-in, if that's a thing that happens, the little the little black square that you hook to your television. And if that's the case, then maybe maybe there's something coming. If we're getting new hardware for that, maybe there will be a little bit of new software for that too. And maybe some of those refinements will help.
Well, maybe a better remote too. Here's an opportunity for Apple to build a better remote on the next version of the 4K TV.
Speaking of terrible interfaces from Apple. Yeah. That's going to have to be a separate show. We're going to have to, yeah, we have to stop here because otherwise we're just going to, I'm just going to split the show and we'll just do hello and welcome to Tuesday, where we pick up where we left off yesterday about the Apple remote. Plus I would have to record that today, so I have the rest of the day to edit before we put the show out tomorrow, because I know none of us have anything particularly charitable to say about that device. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have anything, if any of this is stuff that resonates with you, if there's something that you find really pleasant about that experience, we would definitely like to hear about it because none of us have found it yet. You can email us at observations at macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Dream Team, thank you for being here today. I appreciate it so much. Charlotte, thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And definitely go check out Charlotte's editorial. I have a link to it in the show notes. It's a good read. John, thanks as always for being here.
It was nice to be here. Bye, Charlotte.
It was so lovely. I think maybe we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll have to see. But until then, I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you later. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.